Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Very special day here in New Zealand. It is December 31st. It is the end of the year. In approximately 12 hours, we will be entering into a new year by the Gregorian calendar, which was imposed on everybody during the Roman empire. It'll be quite fabulous. Everybody's probably going to be out reveling, drinking wine in a somewhat of a Dionysian fashion, as will I be. Now, the end of the year signifies a lot of new things. Obviously, a new year is going to be coming in, hopefully better than the last one, but most likely worse, considering New World Order doesn't seem to ever frickin' backtrack. Top 10 articles of the year on Guerrilla Media. Canada to take 75% of natural health remedies off shelves and police can raid without warrants. Satellites confirm the North Atlantic current has shut down. The day after tomorrow comes true. Cannabinoids kill cancer and our government has known for 36 years. HAARP, the cause of the Pakistan flood. Super city like Auckland needs a super logo. I found that was very interesting as they pulled in a whole lot of different famous artists to come in and try and, I don't know, come up with some description of remedy for how you can represent a total tyrannical takeover of all local government structures under the Agenda 21 model. And incidentally, they come up with sun worship. BP oil cano caused current to fail, may cause rapid onset ice age. Aussie Maori Shane Wenzel goes down for 5 years on 36 fraud charges. Good riddance. Also, cannabis campaigner Dr. Green off the hook as he managed to thwart the court's decision to try and imprison him for one of his very numerous possession of cannabis charges. So it's been a very interesting year, full of disaster, triumph, tribulation, and I've conducted a few interviews, which I'll be playing later on in the show, from two very special ladies high up on the international scale who are going to wish you all a very special new year of their own. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Queen Elizabeth II, Her Majesty, and Helen Clark. Right after the break, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the New Year special with Will. It is my very special pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome, Your Royal Highness.
Thank you.
Now, you've had a wonderful year, have you not? How are your eugenics policies going?
Well, not too badly, actually. We've got a major polio vaccination campaign happening in Africa. They've even managed for the UN to very kindly intercede between the already genocidal wars going on and ask for people to stop killing each other for one day, so that we can vaccinate all the children against polio, regardless of whether they're immunocompromised and the vaccine might kill them. But anyway, I believe it's a very, very important step for the Africans to put aside their New World Order-initiated conflict just for a day, so that the children can be vaccinated with vaccines which are quite likely to result in their untimely death. You know, it's much, much kinder to kill the children early rather than to let them run around with weapons and blow each other to bits later.
Well, that's good news. Now, also on top of this, there seems to be an awful lot of problems. You've had difficulty heating your palaces this year. How are you coping with the recent cold weather?
Well, you know, it's very difficult, isn't it? But, you know, unlike ordinary householders, you know, I get an enormous amount of money from, you know, my various investments. And I'm also, you know, quietly cheered from the point of view that, you know, I'm going to be one of the select few who gets to go into the nice, cozy underground cities. You know, when the Ice Age comes and envelops Britain and, you know, well, most of Europe, actually, and, of course, you know, the northern portions of North America, if not, you know, further down, I'll be very snug and I'll think of everybody outside, you know, alternatively, you know, starving or freezing or, you know, perhaps a combination together. And I'll say, well, you know, it's too bad, really. You didn't have blue blood like me. Or you weren't filthy, you know, horrendously wealthy. Or horribly corrupt. Or, you know, any of the other, you know, wonderful attributes that will characterize, you know, the various refugees and, you know, friends and foes alike who will be underground, nice and snug, weathering the storm.
Well, that's very, very nice of them, isn't it? Now, you've decided to, you know, go underground once the Ice Age comes. But beforehand, I believe you're planning a global genocide of sorts. How is that coming?
Well, you know, it's not something I actually want to discuss publicly. I mean, you know, if anybody's got their eyes and ears open, they'll be able to see that, you know, things like mini ice ages, you know, reduce the growing season. And of course, we've already had, you know, significant climate disruption thanks to, you know, the American climate weapons. You know, we had things like, you know, amazing flooding in China. You know, they've done a very, very good job of it. What combined with quite impressive forest fires in the USSR or the former USSR. And, you know, that's done its little bit in terms of reducing the world food supply. And there's been various other, you know, weather events around the globe as well. So, we, you know, we're well on the way to creating food shortages, that are going to put food out of reach of large numbers of people. No, not just the very, very poor, but, you know, moderately poor people as well. And, of course, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful way to start genocide because, you know, once people are well nourished, you know, some sort of reasonably trivial infection can come along, like the measles, and it'll kill them because they haven't got enough protein or vitamin A or whatever it is in their diet for their immune systems to function adequately. And of course, you know, with wonderful floods like we've had in Pakistan this year, you know, you have a wonderful opportunity there to kill people through, you know, a couple of mechanisms. Firstly, you know, you could drown them. Well, there's more than one mechanism, actually, isn't there? They could get drowned outright. Or they could starve because, you know, their land's been flooded and they can't grow food on it. Or they could get some sort of awful disease like cholera from the contaminated water. So, you know, the great global genocide, you know, it's doing very, very well. I'm actually very, very proud of the people who've been working on this program.
Well, I'm pleased for you. Now, this new year, 2011, it's pitched to be an enormous scene of outrage and uprising by many people. And recently, your son and his haggling, Camilla, were assaulted. What are your comments on the pressure against the royal family by the general slave population?
Well, you know, that's quite intolerable. Quite intolerable. You know, my child's, you know, he's not been the perfect son. You know, he's made all sorts of incredibly embarrassing comments in public, you know, most notably the one about the tampon. You know, he's never going to live that down, and he won't be king because of it, quite apart from all his other failings. You know, he's talking to plants and what have you. But, you know, It shan't be tolerated. You know, we're going to put up more cameras in Great Britain, and anybody who does anything like that to touches a hair of that boy's head again, he or she, you know, let's be modern and democratic about it. Of course, you know, my family's been quite democratic about death for many, many years. We haven't discriminated against women. We took off the head of Mary, Queen of Scots. Didn't matter that she was one of the, you know, so-called feebler sex. Well, yeah, so they'll lose their heads. They'll probably lose their heads before they lose their heads because of the drugs we'll give them in prison to make them confess to all sorts of things they haven't actually done. But anyway, it won't be tolerated, that sort of thing. And anybody who doesn't actually watch the royal wedding, they'll be imprisoned as well. We'll use that wonderful facility in the new television sets that allows the television set to operate as a spy camera in people's homes to see who's actually watching the royal wedding or not. And if they're not paying rapt attention, well, then they'll be put on a list for special surveillance.
Well, it seems that it's going to be a very happy new year for you, Your Majesty. Thank you very much for coming on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And do you have any special messages for the general population out there and our fabulous listeners?
Well, you know, if anybody is inclined to do so, I suggest that they do a lot of yoga. You know, I suppose you're wondering why.
Yep.
You know, so they can bend over and kiss their ass goodbye.
Thank you very much, Your Majesty, for coming on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We very much appreciate it, taking your time out of your busy murderous genocide schedule to come and inform our listeners.
You're welcome.
And, you know, it's very cool having the Queen on because, let's face it, you know, she's the ruler of us all. Hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. There's an awful lot of very happy individuals out there in the elite who are just rubbing their hands together with glee at the prospect of a new year full of genocide and false flag terrorism. You know, and it's obviously a good idea to remain somewhat lighthearted about these incidents and eugenic monsters because, hey, what's the alternative? You get real nuts. Get all uber serious about it. You know, there's no reason to get all serious. Vinny, it's just eugenics.
You know, Vinny, I said to myself, we're going to have a positive show today. Going to try and temper myself. We're just going to be nice and positive and airy-fairy and rosy and fake like everyone else for a day. And I'm driving down the road about an hour ago. Beautiful day. People out with their families, you know, it's just a beautiful area I'm in here, lucky to be here. But come across these Nazi cops at a checkpoint, you know, just straight away. Nazi cops are there, they're just checking what they want to check, you know, going through people's cars if they want to. And they waved me through for some reason. Some police officers I wasn't familiar to them. And I noticed 400 meters down the road, there's this cop hiding in the bushes with a notepad, hiding in the tree or the checkpoint in case someone had flashed them and maybe warned them, because word gets around this place fast. And he was there taking notes. And I thought to myself, I'd love to get a camera in your face, but then I know what will happen. I'll spend New Year's in a cell. No, so you just got to go around being a fake. It's the only way these bastards keep any sort of semblance of normality going.
Speaking of which, and you made a point before the show, you know, can we cuss on today's show because of the FCC regulations hopefully being a tad lax around New Year's? And the answer is, of course, no. There's never any laxation on this, which really F's me off.
Well, that wasn't cussing. That wasn't cussing.
Oh, I know. But, you know, incidents like this make you do want to cuss, you know. And, well, as part of my New Year's resolution is to do two things. One, make a documentary. Two, bring back the Vinnie Eastwood Show podcast. I think maybe you want to do a once-a-week or something like that. But, you know, it's all plans in the works. And apparently 56% or some odd amount of New Year's resolutions. It must have been a Freudian slip there. Apparently, most New Year's resolutions never get fulfilled because what happens is people make promises to themselves, and because there's only one person that will benefit or be criticized for that deliverance or non-deliverance of that promise, people generally don't keep them. Whereas if you make a promise to other people, things of that nature, they're far more likely to come true. So, yeah. You know.
I mean, like the whole New Year's thing to me, I like to think it's not just a Gregorian calendar system, that maybe it does represent a revolution around the sun. Maybe it does have an actual rational basis. But people were asking me the last few nights, what are you doing for New Year's? What are you doing? And expecting some sort of, you know, socialite answer. I'm going to spend $150 to go to High Life or whatever the nonsense party is about 10 kilometers away from me. But I just would rather sit down the beach. I've got two beaches, you know, less than a kilometer in either direction. And I'd rather sit down the beach with a few mates with a couple of drinks and maybe around a campfire, you know, nothing occult about it. No, not a bone fire.
But you're not allowed to do that because they're exactly. Fire bans.
Exactly. Well, and a liquor ban, and a year-round liquor ban. And look, I'm not for alcohol at all. I can only handle about two or three beers these days. I start feeling, I feel like crap the next morning. But I just wanted to have a casual night out with some friends, sit down the beach and enjoy freedom. You can't do that. I've got friends. I said, why don't you go down the beach instead of paying $50 to get into the cheapest bar? Why can't we just go down the beach and bring your own beers and it's cost you, you know, $10, $15 and we have a good time? And we invite a few, you know, girls, whatever. We invite a few people we know, just a local thing, between the rocks, between a couple of bays so the police can't see. And then they're afraid. They're just, but William, and these are friends of mine. They're just, there's a liquor ban and stuff. Just everyone's just such suckers. Like, you can't do anything without the government just stepping in. You know, I'm just outside a couple of nights ago with a friend, just, you know, and just looking up at the stars, thinking how amazing it is, like just being out of the city here, being out from under the light pollution. And I can just see, you know, constellations, Milky Way, you know, Pleiades. But no, I can, you know, it's amazing at night here, and I'd like to enjoy that tonight for New Year's. But you can't, because not just because of the law, but because of people's consignment, how they've just resign themselves to obedience. It sickens me. I wish that could be a New Year's resolution for people. To not see truth in authority, to not see truth in totalitarianism. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the difficult thing. I mean, for New Year's and what were they called? Elections. Very similar things are felt by truthers. It's frustration. Because every election, oh, great, it's another same old, just going to get worse election. Doesn't matter who gets in, doesn't matter what happens, it's going to get worse. It's what happens. And similar thing with New Year's celebrations. It's great, another year of eugenics, another year of endless frustration, another year of our freedoms getting taken off us. And it gets really old really quick, you know?
But I mean, just the basic act that I want to go down to the beach tonight and make a fire near the low tide mark and sit around there with a few friends and a few drinks. And that's all. You know, that's all I want to do. And yet they will get a helicopter out here. I know it. I've had military helicopters over my house twice. I've got it on film. But I mean, they'll get a police helicopter out in the bay in a second. If a boatie, when one of their citizen spy snitches, there's boaties out there, they'll see a fire on the shore. Oh, and it'll be put out by the tide coming in a couple of hours. But it doesn't matter. They'll come down and they'll get the baddens out and they'll throw you in the cell and have a couple more charges to face in court. You know, and I just... Everything's gone too far. Just everything's gone way too far. You can't enjoy anything now. You can if you pay licenses to go and protest, if you pay, I don't know, If you can afford to, you can enjoy things, and that makes people consign more into their monetary fake system. I've got to get a job for XYZ scum company. And that's it. People are pragmatic rather than dogmatic. They won't stand up and say, wow, thousands of years of my ancestors could go out and light a fire down the shore. Hell, that's how they used to cook. They used to actually go and hunt. I can't go down the bush back in my section and hunt anymore. That's someone complaining. I mean, you can't do anything.
I mean, freedom is gone. It's dead. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, it just needs some power paddles. You can bring that frickin' freedom back to life. Gosh dang it.
People need shaking. They just need shaking up, you know. It's just...
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's about time for me to tell my 9/11 joke around this festive season. Dick Cheney celebrates 9/11 every year, and he goes out to the shopping malls and buys a whole bunch of presents for his children and takes them on home and sets up a 9/11 tower in his living room, you know, just a miniature version made out of cardboard, and wraps some fairy lights around it, you know, and has a good old festivity time with his family. One year, the tower caught fire, but it didn't collapse. Anyway, I was thinking to myself about the Darwin Awards and how, you know, you can – I've just been given this book here for Christmas by John Eisen from Uncensored about the Darwin Awards omnibus, the compilation of the three favorite Darwin Awards titles commemorating individuals who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it. And I was wondering if there were any climate protesters that feature in this book, you know? You know, and if there isn't, why not, you know?
Well, they believe in natural selection. I mean, hell, they would have been selected against decades ago.
I remember I was down in Dunedin with a mate of mine, and we saw these kids playing with a shopping trolley in the middle of the road. And I was like, hey, mate, maybe we should go over and tell those kids to get out of the road, man. They might get hit by a car. And he goes, oh, natural selection.
Natural selection, yeah. In the synthetic world.
Yeah.
Natural selection against Lady Gaga would have happened a few decades ago, too.
Yeah, a bit of natural castration. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. With Will, the New Year's Eve special. We'll be right back after the break. And divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My
Helen Clark has come in studio for the Vinnie Eastwood Show for a very, very special address. Miss Clark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Vinnie.
Well, you definitely sound like you're holding your Adam's apple well this evening. How are you doing this new year?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle. I'm very, very happy. I've had a very successful year as number three in the UN. I couldn't be happier. We've got a white Christmas in New York. I mean, it's been a bit white than a lot of people would like. But on the other hand, you know, all those white racists are just over the moon. That, you know, instead of, you know, sort of black sort of skies and, you know, all those sort of, you know, things that remind them of the fact that, you know, the president is, you know, half African and half the offspring of a CIA honeypot. Well, they can just think, well, all's white with the world. That's what they're thinking tonight.
Yes, and the KKK, I believe, is getting very festive, releasing a Christmas album called White Christmas.
It's good, isn't it? You can't accuse them of not having a sense of humour these days, and it's wonderful marketing.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe you're a big fan of the Klan. Now, on top of this, we have very new policies coming through the UN, including a desire to regulate the internet. Were you unhappy about when me and Will ambushed you last year that you thought it might be a good idea to help regulate the internet?
Well, I don't think that you should give yourselves that much credit to tell you the truth. Well, you know, there have been a lot of other reasons to start regulating the internet. For a start, there's just far too much free interchange of ideas on the internet. You can find information about virtually anything you want to on the internet. You can become an expert in various diseases simply by reading textbooks online. I mean, how is the medical profession supposed to maintain its hegemony over the subject populations if people can actually find out about their own bodies, their own health problems? That's just the start of it. Of course, you know, there's undesirable political elements on the internet. There's undesirable, you know, people doing all sorts of things, you know, trying to sort of raise public awareness about this or that issue that really should have been quietly swept under the carpet and thoroughly stomped on many years ago. So, you know, don't give yourself too much credit, Vinny, although I might say that, you know, it is people like you, not just you, purely you and Will, but, you know, lots of the millions, in fact, who are using the internet to push their various barrels and, you know, shake their various cans and raise awareness on things that we don't want people to think about. And that's really the reason we do want to censor the internet.
What's the main thing in your mind that should be censored from online activity?
Well, virtually anything, really. It doesn't involve cyber shopping. I'm all for cyber shopping. It's, you know, very easy to shop if you've got a credit card and computer access. A lot more convenient than going outside, especially, you know, in New York at the moment, of course, it looks lovely, but, you know, it's very cold outside. And, you know, there's a risk of, you know, slipping over on the ice or getting mugged. You know, there's various things that can happen to you if you go outside New York. So much easier to just shop online in the comfort, you know, of your own home or office, just with a computer and mouse and a credit card.
Well, it would be nice, you know, for example, if all of us just stayed in our slave blocks and never went out, never went anywhere to do anything, you know, if we could all just sit at home and purchase everything online, it would mean that the streets were free of general rabble. Would that be pleasing to you, Ms. Clark?
Oh, of course it would be. It'd be very, very pleasing indeed. I'd like to see rabble-free streets. There's a great deal too many rabble-like, you know, persons in the world, as there are, you know, today. And, you know, that's one of the things that I'm very sorry that campaign for a computer for everyone in the third world, you know, didn't take off properly, because if we'd have got all the third world children hooked on internet shopping, well, you know, the world would be a better place.
Now, speaking of making the world a better place, being part of the UN and pushing for world government like you have done for much of your political career, what's your end game? What would you really love to see as the future for humanity?
Well, I would really like to see a world dictator. I mean, let's face it, democracy doesn't actually work unless you've got the sort of the example of what I had when I led the Labour Party in New Zealand, where there was a strong leader who told everybody in Labour what to do. That made democracy work beautifully in New Zealand for a short amount of time. But then, of course, you know, as you know, treacherous New Zealand public voted for the other guy. I'm still not very happy about that. And anybody in New Zealand who's complaining about National, well, I have a message for them. You deserve what you get. It was all, you know, purely because you believed that there was no difference between National and Labour. Well, there's a big difference between National and Labour. We're much better than National for the ordinary person, even if you personally didn't like me, even if you personally loathed the anti-smacking bill, even if you personally thought that my 2IC was a bit of a dork, even if you personally couldn't stand Annette King and wished she'd spontaneously combust.
Well, the problem is that with the Labour and National Party complex is that we have virtually no difference, because every time one of our prime ministers gets elected, Treasury comes in and says that there's some big financial crisis left by the administration before them. And all of a sudden, all your political promises seem to evaporate into thin air. What's really accountable for that?
Well, it's very, very important to keep new governments in line. And when I am the dictator of the world, I intend to do that. You know, there's a wonderful, wonderful quote attributable to one of the Rothschilds, I can't remember. And he says, it was a he, of course, you know, that's a very sexist dynasty, the Rothschilds. It goes down to the male son and heir. Doesn't actually credit the woman with any sort of financial acumen whatsoever. But never mind about that, you know, that's their bailiwick. But in any case, this Rothschild said, well, I paraphrase, actually. He said, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I control the currency. And that's a very important thing to remember about politics. And, of course, I've got to say that, you know, if you're as old as I am, or even if you're half my age, if you believe a single political promise, you really ought to go and check yourself in as a voluntary mental patient, because it shows, you know, an extremely dysfunctional brain. If you've, you know, gotten to even to the age of 30 and you still believe a thing that a politician's telling you, you know, there's an old joke that, you know, how do you tell if a lawyer is lying? Well, it's his or her lips are moving. Well, you can just substitute the word politician for lawyer. It's equally true.
Now, as a lying politician, what kind of wishes would you like to give New Zealanders and indeed the world, which you're someday going to be the dictator of this 2011?
Well, I think the most important thing that could happen is if Ban Ki-moon meets an untimely end. Then I could become number one in the UN straight away, and I could manipulate the situation so I could become world dictator, and I think you'd see world affairs improving out of sight. We'd institute international slavery a lot quicker, a lot more painlessly. I'd do it with a smile. I'd do it my wonderful New Zealand accent instead of his sort of unintelligible Asian accent. And we could all have a very, very happy year.
Absolutely. A happy Socialist International New Year to you too.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, I'm very appreciative that Miss Clark decided to give me that brief little interview. After all, she works about 70 hours a week to earn her $9 million a year salary, getting to spend $9 billion a year in the UN Development Programme, which, incidentally, leads to an awful lot of vaccinations, a lot of which are in fact sterilizations. Oh, those black people need to be sterilized, don't they? Yeah, they're just evil, right? Oh man, I'm turning into Margaret Sanger. You know, and I'm really kind of interested in this topic of why people decide that racism is something that they want to really support. You know, it's in my opinion, there's only one race. It's called the human race, guys, you know, and we're all members of it. So if you discriminate against any other human, you're basically discriminating against yourself. That's the way I feel about it. But on the other hand, there is the UN agenda to try and get us all into this big F-off melting pot so that none of us have any individuality and no discernment or no discrimination whatsoever. Discrimination itself is not inherently a bad thing. After all, I didn't throw a dart at a phone book in order to get my radio sidekick Will here, did I? No. Discrimination's fault.
Well, it's an interesting subject you bring up here, Vinny, because you know, I'm a mixed race individual, as the clan would have it, but everyone, more or less, unless you're from some of the few select gene pools in Asia or maybe in Iceland, parts of Norway. I mean, there is a lot of mixing that has gone on. The British are an example of that, and my British blood is certainly mixed between England, Ireland, Scotland. I don't know about Wales, but I mean, there's racism for the simple reason, with or without elites and agendas, because people look different. And so for phenotypic differences, of course, there's going to be some genetic difference. But we're talking about, you know, if we're only 3% only, so actually quite a lot, 3% genetically different from a chimpanzee, there's a huge phenotypic difference and a huge biological difference also. There is very, very little biological diversity between human beings on a genetic level. But I suppose people are going to find difference, right, Vinny? You know, someone looks tall, someone's fat, someone's stout, someone's lanky. People find difference. People are group thinkers. People will pick on someone if they wear the wrong color shirt at a certain football game. Of course you're going to have racism. It's just one of those. It just comes with pack mentalities. But then, at another level, I actually support people who want to defend their own people. And then, if everyone did that, there wouldn't be too much globalism. You know, for the whites who want to defend whites only, then they have the, in my opinion, they have the right to stand up for their civil rights. Sure.
Yeah, and protect their own culture too. What's his name? Kramer from Seinfeld. He did a comedy sketch on this saying, why do we have a Black Pride Day when we don't have a White Pride Day? You know?
White Pride Day would be seen as racist. Yeah. Well because right, black people black are the minority Pride group. Day, but then black people, black people are called a minority when in the scheme of things, an excess, which is not actually an excess, but an amount of melanin in the skin that expresses itself as a colour is the norm. Is a default position in the majority of the species. But you know, people are going to whatever. I'm against supremacy, but I think multiculturalism. I agree with Mark Stern a lot on his arguments towards multiculturalism, and what it does is it helps to dilute our connection with culture and ancestry, so that once again it's just like taking God or religion or spirituality out of the equation. Government and tyrants are able to impose themselves more easily upon people. And that's what I think one danger of multiculturalism. And everyone just saying, we all get along and be one big human family. Because then these Maitreya-type world dictators have a better chance of embedding themselves into the fabric.
Yeah, and that's the danger, is the thing. If everybody's united on a single front, for example, it means that it would be incredibly difficult to change the direction that front is heading. So it means that if you suddenly decide that, hey, you know what, I don't want to go with this flow anymore, you can't stop the system, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the real danger with so-called democracy.
It's not
democracy.
A danger. We already have it. A danger of anything. Like, we already have a world where 70% of the world, I guarantee you, loves Barack Obama, thinks he's an innocent, sweet black man.
Yep. You know, and I don't think that voting for somebody based upon their racial commodity, if you can call it that, is a logical idea. I mean, have a look at his policy. Have a look at who funds him. You know, if I was to say try and vote for somebody who actually supported the black community in America, I would more likely be voting for Cynthia McKinney of the Green Party. She stands up for
like
civil
racism.
Rights all the time. And criticizes
Cynthia's
the government
great.
Openly, you know.
Dennis
Cynthia's great.
And Cynthia on the left are great people, but it's just like racism. I mean, it's politics or personality. That's why certain people in the truth movement are liked and disliked, because sadly, people judge personalities too much.
That's right. And you can make one statement, and people will turn off you for life. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. 402-237-2525. What's your New Year's resolution?
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll.
Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. And also, hi to all our fabulous listeners in the Tron, Hamilton, 89 Rush FM, broadcasting 5 days a week from 6 till 8 p.m. Now, we're having a discussion over the break about a recent article that's commented on leftist commentator here in New Zealand known as Martin Bomber Bradbury. This is what the article says. It's in the out of the Telegraph. Political views hardwired into your brain. Tories may not be born bad. May be born, not made. Claims a study that suggests people with right-wing views have a larger area of the brain associated with fear. Scientists have found that people with conservative views have brains with larger amygdalas, I believe it's called, almond-shaped areas in the center of the brain.
Amygdala.
Off,
amygdala, associated with anxiety and emotions. On the other hand, they have a smaller area, cingulate, an area of the front of the brain associated with courage and looking on the bright side of life. The exciting correlation was found by scientists at University College London who scanned the brains of two members of parliament and a number of students. Obviously, an enormous study, right?
Well, the thing is, the ultimate point, the ultimate conclusion is that, you know, conservative people have more of the brain associated with fear and just being paranoid and selfish. That's his ultimate point, isn't it, Vinny?
More or less. And we had a comment here by Martin Bradbury, basically saying that the right wing are genetically more fearful and less courageous, and I commented on this and said, you know, maybe we should institute a eugenics-inspired sterilization program. And, you know, Will then added into the conversation saying that left wing is less perceptive and more artificial and great at empowering authority. What a load of socialist Nazi crap analyzing brains upon political lines. Martin responds to Will saying that you sound fearful with little courage, Will. It's not your fault if you voted for ACT or National. It's genetic. And Will's replied saying, I don't vote since I'm courageous enough to see through the controlled left-right political landscape and their loaded agendas from climate change to the war on terror. Mr. Bradbury replied, really? However, did we become friends on Facebook? Now, these kind of
arguments, that's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I've known this guy from protests on the street 3 years or so ago, and more than 3 years ago, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, this whole idea, anyway, more fearful and less courageous. Well, it was actually less able to see the bright side of life. Well, this is exactly what we were talking about before. These artificial scum, leftist retards who look on the bright side of things, even if there's UN troops at their door.
Oh, honey, they might not be here to kill or enslave. Look,
you know, fearful minds, animals are fearful. You go out into the forest, there's animals, they're hearing you before you come. They're looking around. This is survival. This is how a species survives. This is what I mean about these scum not getting the essence of what it is to be a human. Fear is a means of survival. It's a mechanism. These guys are used to these artificial air-conditioned rooms. They don't think fear has a place in our genome anymore.
And not to mention, during the study, all of the people that they studied were all adults. So it's hard to say whether their brains have been born that way or had developed through experience.
I don't think there is a difference in our brains. What I'm saying, even if there was, and even with his facts withstanding, so-called facts withstanding, he'd still be in the wrong. I'm saying it's beneficial to have a, not a paranoid, but a discerning mind. That's where discernment comes from. Discernment doesn't come from looking on the bright side of life.
I think this just sounds like Nazi ideology to me, defining people based upon their brain size and that kind of thing. It's exactly. Total eugenics policy studies.
Is he going to start measuring CCs? Is he going to start putting brains in jars and saying, here's the Jew and here's me? I mean, what's he going to do next? What if a right winger said that left wingers have smaller brains or whatever he's trying to prove, or less IQ, or, you know, imagine a right wing journalist in New Zealand said an equivalent thing, that would be attacked all over the newspaper. This guy's got a big standing, fairly big standing, in alternative media, now going into mainstream media, and there's no, you know, there's a few people attacking him, but he needs to be run off the air, if you ask me. Nuts.
Yeah. It does sound completely insane. But this is why you get your own television show or radio show and that kind of thing, is because if you work really hard at being insane, you'll get rewarded for it.
I mean, so I'm a far right person in his mind, and I'm genetically more fearful and less courageous. How about I bust into his office today and show him who's scared? I mean, seriously. These idiots, man. They want to see who's scared. You wait until 12 months' time. mean, you wait and see where we are in 12 months. You wait and see who settles the score in 12 months. We're going to settle this civilly. We're going to not, you know, not anything that could make you fearful, Bomber. But he left us. Get all your armies of idiot government sympathizers together, because you're going to need them.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with China, just recently, they've cut rare metals. Apparently, a lot of array of metals, which are crucial for electronics products, from iPods and X-ray systems to old energy light bulbs and hybrid cars, it's a sign of growing industrial and political clout. China has cut its export quotas for rare earth elements by 35% for the first 6 months of 2011, threatening to extend a global shortage of the minerals and intensifying a scramble to find alternative sources. That's right. The resource run-out fraud has begun. You're going to have to get used to living without much means whatsoever, as they gradually squeeze everything closed, bring in Agenda 21, and make the slave grid with the portable surveillance towers that they're putting in Walmart shopping complexes near you to catalogue and trace everything you do. We'll be right back. No more from us in this year. This is the last show. It's the 31st of December in New Zealand. We are broadcasting live from the future. We will see the new year in a little under 11 hours time. Now, over this last year, there's been, you know, lots of very interesting things. And out of the New Zealand Herald, they got a section of the top 10 images from 2010. Number one, being a enormous tract of land covered with orange aluminium contaminated sludge, which flooded through the streets in part of three Hungarian towns so far this year. Also, there is the photo of the release of Myanmar's pro-democracy leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, after her release from house arrest in Yangon. There is footage of the police state slash red shirt protests in Thailand, where they a whole bunch of these red shirt protesters basically all but shut down Bangkok for a reasonable period of time, mind you. And one of the interesting publicity stunts that they pulled is they all donated blood so that they could pour it on the steps and fences of Parliament House. I thought that was a very, very interesting story there. And, of course, number four, we have Julia Gillard laughing her head off as she staged a coup against the previous Labour Party Prime Minister, who was increasingly popular. But, of course, he was had a coup staged against him because he didn't pass draconian climate change legislation, just like all of the Australians didn't want. So naturally, the best idea to serve the people of Australia is to kick out the person who's actually doing what should be done for the people, and then replace them with somebody else who's like totally illegitimate, totally fake, with the worst accent you have ever heard in your life. Number five, of course, there is Assange, Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, speaking to a press array. No, seriously, bro, have you ever seen like those big stacks of like press scum all huddled together, like the seething masses of serfs, you know, around this guy? And interestingly enough, he's standing in a wonderful looking Masonic archway with an all-seeing eye behind him, incidentally. And of course, one of the interesting stories of this year was the volcanic eruption in Iceland, which produced about five times as much CO2 as the human race is going to commit. And there was the escape of the miners from the terrible trapped circumstances that they were having in South America there. The Pakistan floods, with thousands of people walking through the rain-soaked countryside. The fabulous destruction in Port-au-Prince due to the earthquake. And lastly, the burning of the oil rig in the Gulf of Oil Kano. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Bankster scum, our time has come to enslave the earth.
I'll dedicate that to our fabulous bankster master here in New Zealand, John Key, or as it's pronounced in French, Jean Key. Speaking of which, we're just talking over the break about the French national anthem and how it's about basically spilling blood and then growing crops on the fields where you spill it. You know,
spilling the impure blood, Vinny. The impure blood.
Oh, really?
Well, very that racist, sound like the French in their own way. Sorry for our French listeners. Yeah, they are in their own way. They're quite supremacist. And they've got a few Moroccans there. They don't look down on them. You just pack those dates and shut up. I mean, bien, c'est bien.
Yeah. Well, there's only two things you should hate, you know, racism and the French. Now,
well, the thing is, they're leftist racists, and they're all for climate change and nuclear bombs all at the same time. They're just, they're a beautiful array of hypocrisy. And I guess, well, in the spirit of their founder, Adam Weishaupt, why should we be surprised?
Yeah. Well, we had. I wanted to ring out some of the comments that we get from the show during the section of the year. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and have a look at the listeners' comments section, you can read things like this from Hannibal. He says, "Hi, Vinny. I'm not a talk show aficionado. In fact, yours is about the only one I listen to with any consistency because you are unique, and this is a quality I very much admire. Your imitation of a mosquito a few days ago made me laugh like I haven't laughed in a long time. I do love the show, and perhaps I will serve it up with some fava beans and a nice Chianti." That in from Hannibal.
Thanks for editing that one, Vinny.
You're welcome. And
you just don't want me to get stuck into him, do you? Anyway, it's Hannibal Lecter. I'll let him off.
Yeah.
See, he doesn't like me having emotions. Sorry, Hannibal. We just as you lust after human flesh.
Yeah.
I get mad some days and go on rants, but hey, that's just me.
Well, But he says, I do have a suggestion, however. Please rein in Will a tad. And I find that really ironic because Will's actually the one that really reins me in a lot. He says, he's a very bright guy, but his rants are becoming a bit redundant. And if he continues to interrupt guests to say what he already said the other day before, I shall have to begin referring to him as Little Alex.
Oh, that's a low blow, Hannibal. No, I mean, look man, I can't help getting angry sometimes, Hannibal. I mean, you know, I reined myself in today when I saw the police officers being Nazis hiding in the bushes, and I didn't go and confront them so I could make this radio show and say Happy New Year to you. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, that was in fact our very first piece of criticism, and I was very happy to receive a piece of criticism, and I applied that criticism. Well, yeah, but interestingly enough, I found myself repeating a little bit on the show. And, I took that criticism to heart myself, and I try to do as good a show as I can. And, you know, the difficulty is about being human is that you mess up pretty much everything all the time. But luckily, during live radio, barely anybody notices.
The thing is, Vinny, I repeat myself on purpose because we're reaching new people all the time. And it's not just about preaching to the choir. It's about getting new minds out there and you know, using the time for the best, biggest possible impact on the trash running the place. That's why I repeat it myself, because sadly it doesn't seem to be heard a lot of the time. And we can't be everything to everyone, so sorry, Hannibal, you're probably ahead of the curve. The rest of the class, some class are only just starting. And we have to teach 5-year-olds and 25-year-olds all at the same time.
Yeah. And apparently the most effective form of brainwashing is repetition. So if you mind us, if you hear us repeating ourselves and things like that, don't worry. We're just trying to brainwash you into thinking that you can be a free-thinking individual who can exterminate the New World Order agenda in all of its facets. Hopefully not the violent one, unless, of course, you're defending yourself against scumbags that are trying to take your kids or whatever. But... you know, I'm not encouraging anybody towards violence here. You know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I may be a large guy, but my heart's bigger than I am, I'd probably say. And, you know, I've got a lot of compassion, and I haven't laid a hand on anybody since I was 15. I used to be a really violent kid. In fact, I used to be a bully in my early school days until I realized that every time that I was violent, and I got suspended in my high school career, 19 times.
Whoa, is that why you're so well-known around here?
Yeah. One of which was when we were having a discussion of racism just outside on a deck outside the Cohen Room. And sitting there with a South African, a Maori, and a New Zealander chick, and I was talking about how different races express their racism. And I noticed that in general, Caucasians, they tend to express their racism through humor, like they'll tell racist jokes and such. And the Maori girl, Rangatora, I believe her name was, asked me, you know, what's an example of that? And I said, okay, there's a joke, and I'm not being racist here or anything. I'm just using it for the sake of argument, an example. What do you call a Maori on a clothesline? It's called a Maori go-round. Now, the point that I was trying to make is that different races express their racism differently. What was happened after this conversation, however... was that she went to the assistant principal saying that I was very racist and I had said Maoris are all bums anyway, and everybody else at the table agreed with her. Total lies. And indeed, the entire seventh form agreed with her as well. And I was suspended. The entire seventh? No kidding.
You weren't winning any popularity contests, Vinny.
I was the least popular that you could ever conceive of, all right? That was my first experience of wide-ranging conspiracy against me. Everybody – no kidding. This is just so, so funny. It's funny how a small-town school works, isn't it, that everybody conspired against me, and then I got suspended for 3 days so they didn't have to deal with me for 3 days.
Well, I actually found the opposite at school. You know, I, without wanting to be, was always kind of popular. And I'm not that sort of person. I'm quite an introvert person. And it takes a lot for me to come out of my shell and trust people because I'm one of these fearful, paranoid right wingers, you see. But
don't worry, you were born that way.
Yeah, I was always quite popular, and so I didn't have any conspiracies against me in that regard. In fact, I managed to weasel my way out of a couple of incidents. But I guess that just comes with being on the side of a cabal.
Yeah. The reason why I got suspended so much is because I was always very honest. I never lied about the things that I'd done. But interestingly enough, when I told the truth, nobody believed me.
Mm.
You know, I remember when I was the head of the...
Maybe because you were good at drama and they thought you were acting.
Maybe. In fact, I got suspended for racism there again. Because me and a friend of mine were probably two of the best actors in the drama class of sixth form, Quanah, and we're kind of making fun of our new Australian colleague who came in, who just happened to be Indian. But Australians and New Zealanders, just like Canadians and Americans, have this description of animosity and make fun of each other and that kind of thing. And now, I wasn't suspended for any of that, however, but it was used as a context to suspend me for this Māori incident later on, saying, yes, Vinny, racism is part of your game.
Vinny was a racist much. Long before the Vinny Eastwood show.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know.
He's just white power all over.
Mm-hmm. Even though I have plenty of Māori activists on the show to talk about how they're being suppressed and how it's a good idea to have sovereignty and that kind of thing, even though I go after people who try to implement eugenics policies and promote the ideas that Hitler and everything...
I go around Vinny's house and there's this, death to Zog paraphernalia around the place. No. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it, Vinny, that... I guess you can't have a laugh at other people's expense, but there's often a fine line between genuine racism and a bit of joking around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a time and a place too.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's just not funny, and I recognize that even somebody who laughs at the lighter side of genocide. But moving on.
Well, being a mixed race person though, I have white folk, I suppose you could say, make racist jokes around me all the time because, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, not you, or we don't look at you that way, or you're sort of homogenizing our culture enough, or you talk nicely, or you dress appropriately. And it's really kind of awkward and funny, sometimes being in my shoes in those situations, hearing stuff I don't really want to hear. Some pretty nasty. There's some pretty nasty underlying racist ideals in New Zealand, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of it's based upon who's taken the most benefit money or something ridiculous like that. $60 million or something that's gone missing out of the benefit coffers, compared to over a billion dollars for the climate change tax alone. I mean, where are the biggest fish to fry here, guys? Come on. Stop being racist and start being bankerist.
Yeah. And, this is the thing about dedication to a cause. A comment in here from Turley in Lubbock, Texas. Hi, Vinny, I'm still loving your show. I have to go to a park near my home to catch your show or download the archives. Recently, ATT pulled the plug, literally, on my unlimited data plan I had since 2006. I had thought it was grandfathered. I could only look forward to saving $123 per month, which is what I paid for a wireless phone and my laptop Kinect service. I got the only revenge I could by converting my $50 per month wireless phone to a Go phone, which cost 10 cents per minute. Isn't that funny? Keep your wonderful sense of humor, and thanks for all the news you give us. Oh, yes, why don't you join Facebook while it lasts? I see as a gift, even with the hassle. And also, some of you may remember, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, we did an interview with Wayne Levick in Australia, talking about the Australian Constitution and things of this nature. And I received some correspondence from him following up from his appearance on our show. And this is what he said. Just to let you know that the fantastic interview you conducted with me is having an impact. Just Google Eastwood Wayne Leonard. Whoever put your on whoever put your interview with me on YouTube got my name wrong, but who cares? To me. Your interview has even been copied and burnt onto CD for distribution. This morning, this was on Sunday the 28th of November, it was mentioned on Australian radio all down the East Coast, including Tasmania. Jack Straw has been forwarded the YouTube address, as has his personal assistant and the Blackburn Labour Party of Britain. The Conservative Party, Liberal Democrats and the British Labour Party have all received multiple emails providing the YouTube address of the interview. Apparently, it has been sent to America and various other countries. A lot of people in Australia are using it and forwarding it as an educational tool. So thank you so much for bothering to broadcast an interview that is definitely having a huge, if at the moment hidden, impact. You have been the only journalist with the character to understand the significance of the material and to break this story. As I promised, once the story breaks big time, you'll be the only journalist on my list, and I can guarantee that many with whom I continue to work with will wish to be interviewed by you. Again, thanks so much, and keep up the brilliant, groundbreaking work. From Wayne Levick at basicfraud.com and basic-fraud.com. And, you know, it kind of embodies the very reason why I do this show and the very reason why I bring on these activists that nobody's ever freaking heard of. Okay, it's because they work really tirelessly to get things done. Okay, and very few, if any, people in the mainstream media or alternative media for that matter actually bother going after these small unknown people who are doing a heck of a lot of really good work. Because, you know, they want listenership to thrive around the big guests and things of that nature. And, you know, we have big guests on this show from time to time. But the majority will be people that you have probably never heard on anybody else's show ever before. And that's the reason why I do this, is because it can actually snowball for these people. You know, if somebody understands your issue and you want to get your issue out there, you know, contact us, producer@thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, because it's very rare that you'll get an opportunity where somebody actually gives a, you know, actually gives a crap about what you're talking about and is willing to actually put you on international radio as we do on this show, and then archive it for you, edit out the specific interview that you featured in so that you can upload it to your website and send it around, okay? Because it's amplification. Everybody in this day and age has something to say. Those who have the most to say are usually those without the ability to amplify what they say. So it's almost like they're talking into the wind. When you talk on radio, when you talk on the internet, and you've got something recorded, you've got something that you can put out there, if you go to the archive section of the Vinnie Eastwood show, you will not believe the amount of incredible information that has been spelled out on this show. You won't believe it. In fact, you know, I'm the host of the show, and even I don't believe it. You know, I mean, just yesterday we had Tim Ball, who's one of the top qualified climatologists in the world. We had Amy Sharon from, who's having her problems with CPS stealing her baby, and talking about the conspiracy behind how they basically steal little girls with blue eyes and blonde hair, and how it's all connected way up to Wazoo and the government. We've had Qantas Media Award nominees like Claire Swinney on the show, breaking down 9/11 and chemtrails. We've had music experts like Ricky Ray breaking down the occult and MK Ultra involvement in Hollywood. We've had plenty of Kiwi activists like Mary Byrne from the Fluoride Action Network in New Zealand. We've had Lauren Murray talking about the radiation in our water supply. We had Gordon Duff breaking down WikiLeaks and how it's controlled by Israel. And John Galt breaking down the financial crisis. You know, we have literally a plethora of information available to the public. All right, and that's the basic idea of the Vinnie Eastwood show, is to make public the stuff that you should know, but often have it kept from you, okay? You know, and I do it with a lot of dedication because I know what's at stake here. You know, our lives are literally at stake. And I do take it very, very seriously. Even though we laugh about a lot of these things. It's just a coping mechanism so that we can deal with the terrible things and the terrible reality that we're faced with on a daily basis. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, 402-237-2525. Call in with your New Year's resolution. There's nowhere to hide. We're penetrating through the airwaves, striking at the massive media-type Berlin Wall that surrounds everything. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. You go to the archive section, you'll be able to see all the stuff that we've done so far this year. Well, not all of it. In fact, if you want to see all of it, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and check out the archives there. If you want to listen to them in high quality, commercial-free, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com archive section, where we've also got links to articles, our links to our guests' websites, and indeed video clips that we have played on the show as well. You know, I work pretty hard on this puppy, but, you know, there's been some amazing events this year. We've had the big Christchurch earthquake, which apparently it was a 7.3 earthquake that completely effed up their economy. And recent aftershocks have basically thrown a wet towel on the sputtering flame of their economy of late. Oh, yes. We've also had a new Supreme Court open up in New Zealand so far this year. If you see the interview with Dilip Rupa that we did on the archive section there, talking about how we're the only country, well, that I know of at least, and, you know, that's not saying I know a lot, I just know this, who has anonymous judges running our Supreme Court. So the zero accountability. Of course, one special interview that I liked particularly well was John Truman Wolfe, the author of Crisis by Design, about how America has a $14 trillion deficit. All right, it makes the debt clock look remarkably feeble by comparison. And China having a $3 trillion surplus, which they've just offered to bail out the EU with, interestingly enough. Had interviews with Kerry Cassidy from Project Camelot and George Heminger, George for title, man on the street interviewer in California there. And also there was a very interesting story on 60 Minutes regarded to vitamin C and how it can cure a heck of a lot of conditions, including swine flu. And apparently, if you want vitamin C to cure you and stop you from dying, you probably have to get a court order or a letter from a lawyer threatening to sue the doctors because they'll refuse to give it to you. Because I think it's all quackery, even though it's approved by the medical services and even though it's got a 70-plus year history of curing known diseases. I have a good interview with Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand on that one. So, you know, this year is literally a jam-packed information double-hitter kill zone. Like, seriously, man, some really effed up stuff has been happening so far in 2010, not least of all the Gulf of Oil Kano incident, which apparently, I had this in from our listener, Kathy, they're now hiring chefs, celebrity chefs, to cook up Gulf seafood in order to encourage people to go back eating it. But unfortunately for the government, the American people aren't that stupid. So, in order to get them to keep eating the seafood anyway, they're putting it in the school lunch programs. Oh, the deception. And I would, you know, perish the thought. Think that old Tony, the former CEO, or now former CEO of BP, who sold a ridiculous amount of his shares in BP a day or two, or it might have even been 3 days before the rig blew up. As did, of course, numero uno when it comes to false flag and financial terrorism, Goldman Sachs also sold an enormous amount of their shares in BP days before the rig, the Deepwater Horizon, exploded. How much of this was reported in mainstream media? F all. That's right. There's a reason why I believe people are turning to the alternative media shows like this and even shows on other networks, and particularly some of the great shows that we have here on American Freedom Radio. I'd like to give a shout out to all the hosts here on this network. They've actually made me feel extremely welcome coming in as the first New Zealander on the crew. You know, it's just a great network. I mean, really. And I remember one day, I think it was the first couple of days that I was starting on the network, where I just basically sat down, listened to the stream whole way through, and listening to all the different shows, and just show after show after show after show was just pumping out max awesome information. You know, if you want information you can trust, if you want free media, if you want freedom in general, you got to be listening to American Freedom Radio, and it doesn't matter which country you're in, because the information applies to all of us, you know, unconditionally. And I can say that with a reasonable degree of confidence. Being from New Zealand, of course, we understand the New World Order agenda just as well as the Americans do. In fact, we've been told that we know more about the American system than a lot of Americans do these days.
That's not saying much, though, Vinny, to be fair. Yeah, but,
well, but you I know, mean, to be fair. Yeah.
There's some, well, we're not in the oven, you know. If you're in the heart of the empire, they're in the heart of Rome there, especially in Texas, and you're at the front lines, obviously it's going to be a lot more visible, and you're going to have probably extremes of what we witness here in New Zealand. More people that are willing to be on your side and more people who are virulently against you. But like you say, what a great range of hosts on American Freedom Radio here. You've got personal favorite of mine, Freeman, on weekends, and also Kevin Barrett, Truth Jihad Radio. Awesome show. You know, thanks to Dan and to Adam, our recent board op. Adam's just like a Cali dude, always just he helps bring down some intensity between the breaks, hey, Vinny?
Yeah, he's quite what I would refer to as a derp individual.
Sure, in more than one way. And a couple of guests I wanted to give special mention to as well. I'm not sure if I heard you say before, Vinny, Grace Hayden, private investigator, 15 years in the police force, former police prosecutor, in fact, on behalf of the Majesty. But no, Grace is wonderful. She's got great insight there and sees through the whole system. And one of our first guests, Dan Deo, former military advisor, researcher, a doctor, I believe, programmer in 7 different computer languages, research analyst, physicist, just amazing information on the inner workings of the New World Order, some of the occult side, their theosophical side, philosophical sides also. Stan Dale is someone we need to have back on again, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And been monitoring the analytics, things like this, and a lot of people have been coming through the VinnieEastwoodShow.com after listening to our interview with him, and it was ridiculously enjoyable to have access. And this is the reason why I interview people all the time rather than reading their books or watching their movies or reading through their websites and that kind of thing, because it's like I can just have at their knowledge, you know, and get it straight from the horse's mouth. Speaking of which, one person who's contributed a lot to the show was Tim Selwyn from Tumeke, tumeke.blogspot.com. He was appearing weekly for most of the shows that we've been doing, but recently he's been having to move away for a bit, so we've missed his analysis somewhat about the situation in New Zealand. Which brings me to Kiwi collaborators. For a lot of the shows that we've been doing, we've been trying to bring on Kiwi guests to give us a sort of a New Zealand perspective on the New World Order. And we've had people like Russell Chittenden talking about ozone therapy and, you know, just a whole range of others. Even people on the frontline protest movement, Joe Carolyn, from Unite Union has been on to comment about the Irish crisis, and not least of all, we've got Penny Bright as well, who's one of the most active activists in the country, in my opinion. He's taught me an awful lot, principally saying that, you know, you have to scare yourself every day to make sure that you still feel alive, you know. She's give me guts to go up and confront politicians and things of that nature, and bare my teeth and my evil grin at them. And of course, Doc Bean has been a semi-regular on the show as well, and he's indeed put up a banner of ours on his website. We've been getting a little bit of traffic through there, and so much Kiwi collaborator content that we've got on the site. And the thing is, and this is the interesting thing when you have a look at the visitors to the website, there's almost the same amount, and let's consider the population difference here, 300 million people in the US and 4 million people in New Zealand. We have almost the same amount from the US and New Zealand visiting the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I thought that was very interesting because, you know, we have a rather nondescript, almost invisible truther community here in New Zealand, but they are somewhat of a sleeping giant. And I hope, in no small way, that they can help to make the show the success that I'd really like it to be, to pass it on to their friends and family members, get more people listening, because the only way that we're really going to take away the grip that mainstream media has on the minds of our people is to create the alternative for them to turn to. You know, that's basically it. I was asked by Mary Byrne, from, I believe, Fluoride Action Network, if we could do like a daily news show, you know, like a television show, because they really loved the day before they found out about propaganda and how the world's all kind of screwed up and manipulated. They really loved it when they could come home, switch on the TV at 6 p.m. and just listen to the news while they're cooking dinner. You know, that was something that people used to be able to do in the truth movement, and think that they were getting information until they found out that they were being lied to. And then no alternative was produced. Conveniently, though, for those listening in Hamilton from 6 till 8 p.m. weekdays, there is at least replays of the Vinnie Eastwood show on there for you. So, you know, at least in some small way, we're trying to help the New Zealand public and indeed the world kind of wake up to this global dictatorial scumbag system that really disproportionately suppresses all those that don't have the ridiculously large amount of resources that the New World Order oligarchs and such actually have to try and brainwash us all, you know? And that's the only real thing that I can really take away from this show, is that there's no other New Zealander doing it. Nobody's patriotic enough, apparently. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM Hamilton. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next segment. Eastwood Show, final segment of the year, 402-237-2525 is the number to call. Coming up next, there is a Truth Brigade with Christy, and apparently after that, Radio Freeman with Freeman, of course. Time for him. Rents Radio, and one thing that's going to be happening over this next weekend during the holiday break for New Year's, there will be the best of American Freedom Radio broadcasts, and you know, that should actually be a good one to listen to, I'd wager, you know, because American Freedom Radio is just that friggin' awesome. Now, apparently, some people have been making New Year's resolutions to stop smoking, to lose weight, to do something. I think maybe a different New Year's resolution would be in order. How about a New World Order resolution?
Yeah, get your soul back.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
To put it bluntly.
This year, I'm going to stop being a frickin' slave. This year, I'm going to talk to somebody in a supermarket and tell them that Coca-Cola is a level 6 toxin. This year, I am going to ambush my local politician with a camera and tell them that they're New World Order worshipping scum. This year, I'm going to call up Talkback Radio and hijack their airspace so I can spread truther anti-New World Order propaganda. This year, I'm going to turn off my TV more and spend more time with my friends, with children, with people who actually deserve my attention. This year, I'm going to drink less poisonous, additive-laced soft drinks. I'm going to drink better water. I'm going to give myself a decent water filter so I don't become zombie slave.
Selfish right-wing activism, yeah. It involves taking care of yourself, your family, your friends, and then just anyone. Like the supermarket example is a classic one that I try and do. If you're at a supermarket and someone's tossing something up over what to buy at the shelves, you know, don't think you have to be afraid of everyone. This is why right wings are still courageous. Just tell them that's crap. Tell them to get the whole flour over the white flour. I mean, what's wrong with, and it, especially if you're anywhere out in public and you hear someone spewing propaganda and you know it, in your own head to be wrong, correct them. Correct them. Because, you know, all the ideas that are put out there have an effect. And if the enemy is allowed to spew their trash through innocent people, albeit, then we should be able to counter them. If you hear someone saying Barack Obama's great, you're at a bar somewhere, you know, engage them in a debate politely and say why he's not such a great man. And what's happening with foreign debt and, I don't know, healthcare, anything. Pick an issue.
That's right. People are getting getting really ticked off with opinionated people, right? And they're getting ticked off because they don't like hearing different opinions to the propaganda that they've just taken hook, line, and sinker.
It's okay for them to have all their opinions and regurgitate nonsense, but...
Yeah, but it's not okay for you to speak your mind with facts laced in between, right?
Got to do it, though. You got to do it.
Yeah.
That's why it's a war.
Yeah, and also we
and ones with and people with an ideology will always win the war.
And we had a comment here from Nate in Cincinnati. Well, what I can say, Vinny, you have an amazing attitude that I appreciate and a fabulous sense of humour. I find myself looking forward not only your show but your energy you bring to the depressing subjects you address. Cheers, mate, to the positive vibes you interject into every show you do. Keep up the energy and your career will continue to succeed. You are one in a million, my friend. Well, in terms of New Zealand, I'm actually one in 4 million. And Will, you bloke, I must say, I never thought I would meet or listen to someone who thought precisely like myself. I've been awake for a similar time frame as yourself, and I feel like the comments you make half the time are coming straight from my brain. You really need to debate more climate cultists because it is quite amusing to hear them squirm. They have nothing. And I love how you will not let them dance away from your points, even if they go on a 10-minute ramp of BS. I would love to hear your thoughts on some subjects you haven't mentioned on the show before, and I would love to hear your take on some books that I know you would enjoy. All that aside, I would love to help you in any way possible that I can. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm trying to wake people up every day, but I feel like there should be more I can do. If there's anything I can do here or expertise you need, please let me know. And we've had many contributors to the show, not least of all our guests, our wonderful listeners, people who have donated to the show. I can think of a few people who've done that, and it's all very much appreciated because you know it's when you're trying to give something back to the community, it's very interesting when the community gives back to you, right? Because then you just kind of want to give back a little more.
I just want to have a quick shout out to all my friends here in New Zealand. Can't rattle off any lists, sorry. And people like Nate in the States who've supported us, Kathy, obviously, Danny here at American Freedom Radio. Thanks, Danny, for having us on this year. We're going to come back next year and start cracking skulls of the New World Order.
In the Terminator sense of the word. Also, I'd like to give a special shout out to Timmy in Sarasota for uploading our shows to YouTube without even asking us. I love that.
Thanks,
awesome. Yeah, man.
Thanks,
and all the contributors, all the people who've helped, our somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel, who's been the backbone of the show. He's taking a break at the moment. And our associate producer, Chris. And there are just too many to mention, and we don't have enough time. We will see you next year.